Mark chapter 5, verse 14. Let me say it's good to see everybody. Glad you're here. Good to have our friends and visitors today. And we're glad everybody's home and in the house of the Lord. And amen. And I appreciate you coming. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 5, verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they saw that it was told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Amen. I'd like to preach today for a few moments on this subject, the difference between an observation and an experience. The difference between an observation and an experience. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Did you know there's a difference between an observation and an experience? There's a difference in hearing about something and experiencing something. There's a difference in watching something and having it happen to you. Anybody understand where I'm coming from here? Amen. You know, you go to the doctor, and one of the first things he wants to know is what's wrong with you. That's what you went there to find out. He's the one that's supposed to know, not you. Amen. And then, but you know, I appreciate a doctor that wants to know how I feel instead of him telling me how I feel. Because he don't know how I feel. I had open heart surgery and I had some nurses try to tell me what I was feeling. They didn't have a clue. You know, until somebody splits you open and splits your rib cage and pries it apart and reaches in and takes a hold of your heart and starts working on it and doing a little plumbing. And no, till that happens, you don't know what that's like. Amen. Well, I had one time. Well, good. I've had a few of those too, but different ball game we're talking about here. Amen. Brother Davis used to say he wished people was born with a pain meter. I kind of agree with him. Then I'd know if you're hurting or not. But we don't have a pain meter. We just have to take people's word for it. But there's a difference in an experience and just an observation. It's interesting to hear people tell what they saw or even what they experienced. I was reading some accident reports from auto accidents and described what happened. One said the other car came without giving warning of his intention. I guess. Another one said, coming home, I drove into the wrong house and collided with a tree I didn't have. Go figure. Another one said the pedestrian had no idea which direction to go, so I ran over him. Another one said, I saw the slow-moving, sad-faced old gentleman as he bounced off the hood of my car. What an observation. The other guy had an experience. One said, I had been driving for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had an accident. A long time to be driving. And one said the indirect cause of this accident was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth. One said in my attempt to kill a fly, I drove into a telephone pole. Desperate measures. Another said, I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and drove over the embankment. What a mother-in-law. And then one said, the guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him. And finally, somebody said, an invisible car came out of nowhere, struck my vehicle, and vanished. There you go. That's an observation. People observing things. Now, if you had heard somebody that was standing by the way, you would have heard a different story. If you heard the driver of the other car, it would have been another story. If you heard the slow-moving, sad-faced old gentleman passing over the hood, it would have been another story. There's a difference in an observation and an experience. These men that were herding the swine, they observed some things. They watched. I was reading the commentary this afternoon or this morning, and Dr. Barclay, and he kind of feels like this took real late in the evening and perhaps even at night. And so these herdmen, if it was getting really late and perhaps even getting dark, you know, they didn't see perhaps as well as they thought they saw. But they did have a story. And their story probably went something like this. Amen. They were watching over their pigs. And they watched this boat as it beached down by the seashore. And then suddenly they saw this wild man come out of the tombs, and they instantly recognized him as the demoniac that had been terrorizing the neighborhood. He was crying, he would scream, he would shriek in the night, and he would take stones and rip his flesh, and he was crazy. And they, at times, the Bible said they actually would catch him and tie him up with ropes, and he would break the ropes, and then they'd catch him and they tried to chain him, and he'd break the chains. And it said no man could tame him. He was a wild man. And when that ship came on shore, they watched as he dashed down the mountainside and charged onto the beach. And as the men got out of the boat, he came to what appeared to be the leader of the group. And all of a sudden, he just fell down to the ground. And they said, I don't know. We watched him for a few minutes, and it seemed they were having some kind of a conversation. And he said, and all of a sudden, the man that was standing there and the demoniac before him, he just kind of looked up to where we were and kind of waved his hand toward the pigs. And then he said, pandemonium broke loose, and all of a sudden, the pigs went wild, and they just went crazy, and they just started running off of the cliff and drowned themselves in the sea. Now, that's quite a story. And the Bible says, when they couldn't wait to tell the news, they went to town and they started telling everybody. I want to hear how they had to explain this to the guy that owned the pigs. They went to the fellow that owned the pigs and they said, sir, we got some good news and we got some bad news. And he said, well, he said, what's the good news? He said, well, you know that man that used to be crazy, lived in the tombs? He said, yeah. He said, well, he's not crazy anymore. He said, that's good news. He said, what's the bad news? He said, those 2,000 pigs that you used to have. He said, what do you mean used to have? He said, well, they're all devil ham and drowned themselves in the sea. That was their story. The bottom line is there was no pigs. They died. And their conclusion was that Jesus is a pig murderer and he's got to go. And so that was their story. That was their observation. But there was another man that had an experience. He didn't just see it, he lived it. He was the man that lived in the tomb. He was the man that had been tortured by demons for years of his life. He was a man that his mind was filled with madness and his soul was with fear. And every day was filled with horrors and the nights were filled with terror. He was the man that lived his life and felt so unworthy and horrible that he would literally rip his flesh with stones until his body was covered with scars and with scabs and with bleeding wounds. And he was a man that lived among them in the graveyard and he would terrify the neighborhood with his screams and his cries at all hours of the day and the night. He was the man that when they saw him coming, fathers put their children behind them and raised their weapons to ward him off. He was the man that terrified the women of the neighborhood and everybody was fearful. He was the man that everybody wanted to see, and he was perhaps oftentimes the last thing they heard before they dropped off to a fitful sleep. They did what they knew to do. They tried to chain him like some kind of an animal, but I don't know how you help people by chaining them up. That wasn't something that helped him at all. The Bible said that nobody could tame him. He just was so full of fury and hate and anger that nobody could control this man. He said, but when I don't know what happened. I don't really know how to explain it. He said, but I saw a man in a boat. And when that man stopped on the seashore, I ran down to him. I felt compelled. And he said, when I got there, something washed over me like I had never felt in my life. And I found myself falling down at his feet. And out of my tortured soul, words of praise rolled up and began to spill over my lips as I began to worship and praise God. And he said, when I did that, the man called to me and he said, what is your name? And the spirits that were in me rose up. We are legion, for they are so many. And then he said, then I began to call on the man. I said, have you come to torment me? He was so used to torment me. Have you come to torment me, Jesus? He said, oh no. Amen. And then he just the spirits began to beg him to let them go into the carcasses of the pigs that were feeding nearby. And with the wave of his hand and the authority of his voice, all of those filthy and vile spirits that had inhabited my soul for so long, suddenly they were ripped to the roots and they left me. And the next thing I knew, the pigs began to dash off of the precipice and into the sea. Amen. And he said, I felt peace wash over me like nothing I'd ever felt before in my life. I felt clean. I felt fresh. I was delivered. It's been years since I've had this clarity of thought. It's been so long since I felt like I feel now. I'm sane. I've been delivered. Amen. What a testimony. And he said, and I owe it all to this man, Jesus. He did for me what nobody else could do. Amen. And that was his testimony. because he had an experience. Amen. He had an experience. And the Bible said that the people came out from the town and from around the country, and they came to see what had happened. And when they came, there were the pigs polluting the lake. Somebody got up a campaign, I guess, and painted some signs. Environmentalists marching around. Give a hoot, loot. Amen. Waving their signs. Angry. Pig killer. Hog murderer. Amen. That's what happened today. Isn't that right? PETA would be there. Amen. You horrible person killed all those pigs. An insurance company would be there writing insurance policies. A banker would be there trying to get his money. What a commotion. Amen. But Jesus was there. And when they all came, the Bible says, and this is so amazing to me, I love this verse and how it says this. The Bible says, and when they came, they saw the man, everybody say, that was. That's in the past tense, isn't it? The man that was possessed demons. And the Bible says that he was sitting. He wasn't running around. He wasn't crawling around. He wasn't foaming at the mouth. He wasn't screaming at anybody. He wasn't clawing at anybody. His eyes were clear and sparkling and happy. His countenance was totally relaxed. There was peace upon his countenance as they looked at him. The Bible has said he was sitting and he was clothed and he was in his right mind. I just thought of an observation. Seems like the closer that people get to the Lord, the more they want to clothe themselves. And the further people get from the Lord, the more they want to unclothe themselves. Well, there's something there. Just think on it a little bit. Amen. And so that he had this experience. Now, here's what I like about that. This is so neat. The Bible said they saw the man, get this, he's sitting, everybody say sitting. He's clothed, everybody say clothed. He's in his right mind. And then what did it say? And they were afraid. What were they afraid of? There's nothing to be afraid of. I understand why they were afraid before. The guy was nuts. But here he is, calm, cool, collected, saved, delivered. And the Bible said they were afraid. You know why they were afraid? Because for the first time in their lives, they saw the power of God manifest. And they didn't know what to do about it. So, instead of delving into the mystery of the miracle, the Bible says they started talking about the swine. They started talking about the poor pigs. They started talking about their loss. And the next thing you know, they were telling Jesus, you gotta go. They didn't understand. They didn't know what happened. But the Bible said that the man that had the experience followed Jesus to the boat, and he was begging him, let me go with you. Wherever you go, that's where I want to go. Whatever you do, I want to be a part of that because I've had an experience that I'll never forget. My life has been transformed by your presence and your power. I want to go with you, Jesus. Jesus did something very, very different. He spoke to this man and he said, no. There's a parallel that's quite striking here. Many times in the scripture when Jesus did something such as raising Jairus' daughter from the dead, he said, now don't you tell anybody about this. And he healed some blind men. He said, don't you tell anybody about this. And he was transfigured before his disciples. He said, don't you tell anybody about this. But you know what he told that man? He said, I want you to stay here and I want you to go and tell your family and your friends and your neighbors what great things the Lord has done for you. Hallelujah. There's a reason for that. You see, the area he was in was called Decapolis. They were 10 Greek cities. And he had no witness there. And so he told him, he said, I want you to go and I want you to tell these people. Amen. Now, when somebody, Brother Holly taught us, he said, a person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. How many believe sugar is sweet? Why do you think sugar is sweet? How many has ever eaten sugar? Was it sweet? Can anybody argue out of that? Argue you out of that? That it's not? Can anybody tell you that fire's not hot? Why? Because you've experienced these things. And so when you experience something, nobody with a mere argument is going to be able to change your mind. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, I want you to know something today. I've had an experience. Amen. I don't just have an argument about God. I've had an experience with God. Hallelujah. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was dead in trespasses and sins, but now I have been saved. Yeah. Amen. You come too late to tell me God's not real. Amen. They used to have a song years ago, said, if God is dead, who's this living in my soul? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You come too late to tell me that the Holy Ghost is not real. You came too late to tell me that talking in tongues is not genuine because I've already experienced it. Hallelujah. Amen. You come too late to tell me that God doesn't forgive sins because I've experienced it. It's not something somebody told me about. It's not something I read in a book somewhere, but it happened to me. Amen. I'm telling you today, when you have an experience, it makes all the difference. Amen. I'm all for education. I believe that we need all we can get. Amen. But you may have as many degrees as a thermometer. Amen. But you don't try to talk me out of this Holy Ghost because I know it's real. Praise the Lord. I know it's real because it happened to me. Praise the Lord. I know it's genuine. Praise God. I know that God is real because it happened to me. I've had an experience. Anybody here had an experience today? Amen. There was a man that caused quite a stir in Jerusalem because he had been born blind. And Jesus healed him. And all of a sudden he could see. Born blind all of his life. Everybody knew it. And as a matter of fact, when they saw him coming down the street with his eyes open and he was kind of just really enjoying everything. Can you imagine something like that? walking down the street. Yeah, I've always kind of wondered, you know, Jesus told him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And he did, and all was open. But you know what? He couldn't see how to get home, because he'd never been home by sight before. So here's a man staring around wild-eyed, looking at everything, trying to take it all in, but he's still trying to feel his way. Seen anything before. He only knows how to walk by touch, not by sight. And he's walking his way back home, touching things. And somebody said, "You look like that blind man." He said, "That's me." He said, "What happened?" He spit on the ground and he made a mud ball and stuck it in my eyes. And he said, "Go wash." The pool of Siloam. He said, "I went and washed and I can see." Amen. And then there was somebody who said, "Wait a minute. This is the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to be healing people on the Sabbath day. That's work. You can't be working on the Sabbath day. You can't make mud balls on the Sabbath day. You can't heal blind men on the Sabbath day. We better go to the authorities and get this figured out." So they hauled him over to where the Pharisees were, and he told the story again. He said, "I was blind, now see." Just kind of told him a story. And they got the theology of it, and they said, wait a minute, who did this? And they said, "Well, Jesus," he didn't know his name at that point. He said, "I don't know, this guy just put mud in my eyes and told me to go wash, and I came see it, just like he said I would. And here I am." Amen. And then they got into the theology. You see, they had an opinion, didn't they? They had an observation. He didn't have an observation. He had an experience. And they come to the conclusion, they say, "This man that did this healed you on the Sabbath day, so he must be a sinner." And you know what his conclusion was? He said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I don't know. But whereas I was blind, now I see." Hallelujah. He said, "That's all I know." Pray. He had an experience. He had an experience. And he knew what happened to him. And when you have an experience, it changes your life. Let's stand together today. Did you know that you could have an experience with God right here this morning in this service? Amen. If you got questions, you can leave here with answers. If you don't know if this is real, this is right or not, you can leave here knowing that it's right. Knowing that it's real. Amen. God would respond to you today. Amen. God would prove to you today, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that he's real. Amen. That the Holy Ghost is real. Amen. Somebody said, "I don't know if it's for me." He can prove it to you today that it's for you. Because you can have it if you want it. Amen. It's an experience that God wants everybody to have. Amen. God wants everybody to have an opportunity to experience him today. Amen. I invite you this morning down to this altar. Amen. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to experience it. I would like for what happened to me, to us, to happen to you. I've been around the church my whole life. I got the Holy Ghost 45 years ago. I've been preaching for about 40 years. Amen. And I have seen thousands of people receive the Holy Ghost in those years. And I've heard thousands and thousands of testimonies. And everybody I've ever heard give a testimony talked about it's real. Everybody I've ever seen get the Holy Ghost was full of joy and full of peace. Amen. I've never heard anybody get the Holy Ghost and say, "Oh, man, I wish I hadn't got that. Man, I wish I hadn't done that." Not one. Out of literally thousands, I've never heard one person say that.
Amen.
Everybody that's ever got it, Brother Fry, said, this is what I've been looking for my whole life. If I just would have known about it sooner. Oh, I know people tried to tell me, but I never realized it could be so good. Amen. That's what an experience does for you. And you can have the experience of the Holy Ghost today. Amen. I think it'd be good if we'd come for a little season of prayer. Amen. Gather around this altar for a moment this morning. And let's just look to the Lord. If you have the Holy Ghost, you ought to be thanking God that you got the Holy Ghost. So you can come praising and giving God thanks. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad I have this Holy Ghost experience. I'm so glad that it's genuine, it's real. And I know, I'm glad I know. Not everybody knows, but I'm glad that I know. I'm going to tell others because it's so good to me. You've been so real in my life. Oh, I'm glad I have more than just an observation, more than just an opinion, but I have an experience with God. It's real. It's real. It's real. It's real. It's real. Thank you today, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's it. Let's just reach out right now. Amen. God will respond to you if you will respond to Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus, I sure do need your help today. I've tried to do it on my own and I haven't done very well. I need your help today. Amen. I do need help from God to live life today. You're its author. You invented it. You made it. You created it. You gave it to me. And so I'm going to the designer. Amen. I'm going to the very life force itself. And I'm asking you to help me to know how to use this gift you've given and live this life that you have shared. Oh, yes, Lord. Here we are. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus.
Praise.